Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya.
Hi, Angie.
Hi, Tanya.
Welcome to February.
I know. The month of love.
The month of love, the shortest month we have.
Yes.
The coldest month here in Missouri. Mm-hmm. I mean, typically, right? Typically, you just dig your heels in February and pray it's over quickly.
Yes, exactly. That you don't get too much snow and all of that. Right. Don't get snowed in.
Right.
So I think it's a great time for us to start to talk about what happens when you want to start a new project or you want to do something new? And what does that look like? What kind of questions should you ask when you're thinking about a new remodel or you're thinking you want to change your business or move your business or you want to buy a new house or you want to remodel your house? Whatever the case may be, when you start to think about newness and going down a road to start something new, what are those questions and what does that look like?
And I think the first thing that comes to my mind is your why, right? Because, and we've talked about your why many times before on the podcast, but why do I need to move jobs? Why am I feeling burnt out so that I need to move jobs? Why do I suddenly hate the house I'm living in and feel like I need to move? Why do I feel like the walls are closing in on me in this bedroom that I have? So many different scenarios there.
Right.
But you and I have a couple of stories we're going to tell here of changes and something new we're taking on in our lives or newer. So I'm going to start with you, Angie.
Okay, Tanya.
So you have had the first speaking engagement of the year of 2025. At the time we're recording this, you have had your first one.
Right.
And I want you to kind of back up and tell our audience and remind me, you and I have talked about this numerous times, when in your career, and I say career in real estate, in leadership, in owning a company, did you decide that you wanted to put yourself out there for speaking engagements? When did you decide that, and what was your why?
Yeah. Well, the why was probably the same why that I had for wanting to do the podcast. When you have, this year I will celebrate 30 years in real estate. It's all I have ever done. It's what I know. And I've had many opportunities for leadership roles throughout that career in different avenues. So once you've kind of reached a pinnacle in your career, in your life, you start to think, how can I give back? How I feel like it's our responsibility to give back in some way. And for me, how can I take this knowledge that I have and this these experiences I've had and turn that into something that might be useful for someone else? And so that was really the why. Now, I think the why can always sit with you for a little bit. It becomes more urgent as time goes along, right? So I had this inkling, this in the back of my head, how do I give back? What's the platform for that? What does that look like? And then when you start to put things out there in the universe, and we've talked about manifesting, certain things start to pop into place. And at that time, this was early 2022, probably when this first thought hit me. And I was, we had just started doing some stuff with Lori Robertson, who we talk about often on the podcast. And we had met her at the board office, and she was, she had been doing speaker coach, but I don't think she was very far into it. And so Barth Fraker, we also talk about him occasionally. He likes to give us a hard time because we never ask him to be a guest.
Right.
We may
have
to change
that. We're
going
to get him on here.
Yeah. But he said to me, Angie, have you ever thought about having any speaking training? And I said, no, I've really never given that any thought. But again, back to my why and wanting to give back, I thought, well, maybe I do need to do that. Maybe I need to, I don't mind speaking in large groups, large forums, but I hadn't really had that much experience with that.
Right.
So how do I take, is there a possibility for me to take the message that I have, the experience I have, and translate that into a speech that I could give that would be helpful to people?
Okay.
So that was my why, and that's how I got started. I did sign up and took classes from Lori Robertson, and I know a lot of our listeners are participating in the Remarkable program that she has partnered with 417 to do.
Yes,
and I would encourage people, even if you don't really want to speak full time or make that your full time job, you know, you just want to speak better.
Right.
I think it's a great investment in yourself to be able to tell your story. And if called upon, then you have the training to do that.
Yeah. And it seems like, it feels like in a leadership role, there's always going to be an opportunity that you are speaking in front of others. And it could be an auditorium full of people, or it could be a table of eight people.
Right.
But I think having the skills and the tools is important, especially at an age that we are, that we want to give back, and we want a legacy of some kind,
right?
You start thinking in terms of that when you're our age.
Yeah.
And what am I going to do with all of these things that I've learned, the experiences I've had, the leadership roles that we've had?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do with that to further someone else?
Right.
To help someone else maybe move their, you know, game piece further, or move in a different direction or a better direction.
You always hear leave the world better than you found it, right? So that's our responsibility. I'm in a career that I love, an industry that I love and I have passion for. So why would I not take the opportunities that have been given to me to teach someone coming behind me so that they can go further and do better than what I did?
Yeah.
That's just the ultimate, I think, why.
Yeah.
So after I took my speaking classes from Lori, I didn't speak for over a year because, okay, so now I've got this training.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the platform? How do I get out there? How do I get started in speaking? And I happened to ask a friend of mine to lunch, and she is in charge of another association. She runs or helps to run an international association that has to do with fairs and expos. And I knew that she hired speakers. So I just took her to lunch to find out what she looked for. What kind of speakers do you look for? What is it about somebody that you like and would hire them to go and speak to, you know, your smaller associations around the country? So we had that conversation, and then she just kept at me, Angie, are you ready? Do you have your speech ready? Are you ready to go? I want to get you in our booklet. I want to, you know, whatever. I want to help promote you. And I needed that push. So I went from early 2022. My first actual speech I ever gave was in November of 2023.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
And really, that's not that far apart in my vision.
It's not. It's not. But I want you to think about, I want our listeners to think about, when you start out to do something new, you have to get the lay of the land, if you will.
Sure.
One of the questions is how long. I think we all want things to happen quickly. So if you're stuck in a job and you've got to have a new job, we want that offer to come quickly, right? But if you put it out there, it will happen. The universe will move mountains to make sure that you get the right opportunity. And sometimes the first opportunity you get is not the best one.
Sure.
Right? You have to say no to it.
Well, and you've got to get your feet wet somewhere.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you get your first speaking engagement, and now you've had your second. Little over a year apart.
I had a couple last year.
Okay.
They were on a smaller scale. It's just that first one was in November of 2023.
Okay.
And then I gave a couple of speeches last year to smaller groups. And
okay. Yeah. So you've got your feet wet.
Yes.
So you're on to having multiple speaking engagements now, whether it's big or small, doesn't matter.
Right.
So what is your comfort level at this point? And what have you learned thus far?
Yeah. So I read something not too long ago that, and I don't even remember in what context it was, or if I think I read it rather than hear it on a podcast. I get confused because I listen to so many podcasts.
I know, same.
But the comment was, you walk out on that stage like God put you there, because he did. And so now I think about that. Like, I got up on the stage, and there were, they had 800 registrants for this particular conference. There weren't that many people in the room, but probably at least half of that. There were probably 400. Yeah. And I wasn't nervous at all. A, I know my content. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm speaking about. Mm-hmm. It's a collection of my stories that were my leadership journey. And so it's lessons in leadership. And I just thought about that quote, and it just calms me, because I wouldn't be out there if mm-hmm. God hadn't intended for right. me to do that,
sure.
because he made
right.
all these things happen
yeah.
to give me that opportunity. So, and then I think about, it's not about me. That's what calms my nerves too. I am not there. Yes, I get paid to be there, but it's not about that for me. It's about, mm-hmm. again, giving back. So one of the things I say on stage is, you have to interact with me. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for me. I am here for you. I want to make sure that you have a takeaway from mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
Whether you take away one or 10 things, anytime you spend time with someone, it should motivate you, give you direction, make you think a little differently. Mm-hmm. I just want you to take away one thing. And if I'm not hitting the mark, I can adjust. I've got 10 or 12 lessons I can teach. I've got five on my slides here today,
yeah.
but I can adjust if I am not giving you what you need,
yeah.
which is harder to do when you're on stage. One of the most difficult things when you're on stage in front of 400 is gauging how they are receiving.
Yeah.
Yes. Because when you're in a small group, which is really where I love to be, when you're in a smaller group, it's easier to flip the switch and do something different if you're not hitting the mark where mm-hmm. where they're going to really have a takeaway. Most people, nobody was set on the first two rows.
Of course.
So, you're speaking to two empty rows in the front and the lights are in your eyes. So you're trying to gauge. And what I usually do is I pick out two or three people that I can tell are with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I start to lose them, then I know I need to adjust. Mm-hmm. But I've got three or four focal points of people that I can tell are really there and they're engaged and they're not on their phone and I'm connecting with them to really gauge how I need to go. But I'm at home up there. I feel good up there and I feel like it's where I'm supposed to be.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
For that.
Yeah.
I am not confident when I'm in front of a huge group of people.
Yeah.
And I don't have aspirations to be a big speaker in front mm-hmm. of 400 people. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I get too nervous. I feel like I fumble over my words, and you can hear the nervousness in my voice, and I don't know. So I commend you for being able to get to that place. And, you and I both know we've seen lots of speakers over the course of years that we've been in this business and just doing other things, and how you can see that somebody's comfortable up there. I think mm-hmm. that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I think that truly is a God-given talent mm-hmm. that not everybody's meant to be on a stage.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I'm not meant to be on the stage. But so that's awesome. So when you were finished,
mm-hmm.
what was the feedback you received?
Mm-hmm. And that's a great question, because I think it's important to make sure that The very first speech I ever gave, I had to get on a plane right away. I had to give my speech. I had to grab my stuff and get to the airport.
Got
so
it.
I didn't have time
to really stand around, talk to people, get some feedback.
That's what it's about, right?
Sure.
If you can, if you can wait until after your speech is over and then have those people come up to you and say things, and it just helps you get better.
Oh,
if you can, know what's on their mind and what questions they're asking you. And so at this one, I did have the opportunity to do that. I didn't have to leave for 3 or 4 hours. So I was in a good spot. But they had business to conduct as soon as my speech was over. So I ran to my room and changed and came back down and just kind of hung out. And then I had lunch there and sat with a group of people at lunch. And it was interesting. Again, I have 20 topics on a speech, so I could speak for almost 2 hours. Not that I ever need to do that, but I'm prepared if I ever had to fill space or back off. I've got five that are really my top. And of those five, one of them that really hit home, it seemed, with everyone is succession plan. Hmm. And whether you're a parent or a business owner or an organization, you should have a plan for what happens if.
Right.
You know, if something happens to you, if you get hit by a bus, or if you, somebody needs to know where the keys are.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to know how to pick up and run that.
Yeah.
It comes back to what you said earlier about legacy. It's not, it is, you know, when it, the most important piece of that legacy is leaving it better than you found it. But there are some nuts and bolts of that, of how, if something happens to me tomorrow, can somebody just come in behind me and pick up so that the organization doesn't suffer?
Yeah.
Because inevitably, there are people that are employed by that organization or business, and there are people who depend on that job, or you know, having somebody there to help lead them. And it is a real disservice to the people around you when you do not have a succession plan of some kind. And we replaced a CEO at GSBOR. I replaced two of them. And the first one, that is exactly what happened to us. We didn't know where the keys were. We didn't know the passcodes. And you, so I've been on the other side of that, and I understand that. And I think that's why I can speak passionately to that, is because I've been in a position where we had no idea how to pick this thing up and move it forward without there being a lot of glitches and people feeling nervous or uncomfortable because they didn't know who was at the helm. So it's a not a good feeling, and it's something that everybody needs to think about. And at the association I was talking to, these people have been involved. Well, there was one gentleman there who has been volunteering for the fair for 65 years.
Wow.
What? How much do you think he has in
his
head?
Exactly, yes.
And what about that person that is his grandchild that may want to follow in his footsteps if he is not sharing with that person everything he's learned? Because he probably started out as an errand boy or something.
Sure.
You know, he's 90. So, you know, he started.
There's a lot of experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what, he's been through the ranks. He's done it all. He could probably run the fair in his sleep. So they need people. Those type of people need to leave instructions for the next generation. And so that was one of the big things. And then the other was, well, actually there were two more, but I think the one that speaks to me the most is that making sure that you are, I have one that says your words matter, and making sure that you are taking care of your people and not overstepping, like be respectful of everyone's time. So my, in my speech, it's about people who say things in board meetings that is just regurgitating when someone else has said, and
they want to hear themselves speak.
Exactly. And that doesn't help the organization. It doesn't help you move things forward. You need to create a culture where everyone feels that they can speak and one person is not dominating. So, you know, taking the ego out of that, at the at our board office at Greater Springfield Board of Realtors, we've always said you take your company hat off at the door, and that's what you have to do regardless of organization structure. If everybody's in it for them and it's about ego, then you're not going to get very far. So figuring out how to run those meetings more efficiently and allowing time for thought and ingenuity and creativity rather than hearing the same old every time you meet.
Well, letting the same person ramrod the meeting, like you said. Because if one person loves to hear themselves talk and is the only one that gets any time to speak, you're losing, no telling how many voices
you don't know.
You're
you have no
losing.
Idea. Yes,
exactly.
Exactly.
So. And it what you and I both have found is that the more voices that will speak up at the table, the more perspectives that are laid on the table. Mm-hmm. And not that we're always going to agree with each other's perspective, but it helps you appreciate that person with how they view this topic or mm-hmm. subject.
Right.
Versus them always sitting quietly because they can't get a word in or because they don't have the courage yet
right.
to speak up.
Right. I close with a quote from John Maxwell's latest book, High Road Leadership, where he says, a true leader needs to come to the table without an opinion of either side and surround themselves with people from all varying types of opinions mm-hmm. to come to the best conclusion.
That's exactly right.
And I love that. And I think yeah. that spoke to some people too, that they can appreciate that and realize that that's true leadership.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So is there anything you'll change for the next speech
yeah.
based on
my feedback?
Your feedback?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I'll you know, knowing that succession piece is so important because
yeah.
here's what happens when you're giving a speech, or at least it happens to me. I'm like all in on those first 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm kind of worried about time. You know, mm-hmm. things start to creep mm-hmm. into my head. I had them put up a timer on the back wall for me at this one so that I could kind of gauge where I was, but they didn't start on time. Like I looked up and I was into it probably 5 minutes and I was like, that timer has not started. All right. So I'm going to be off a little bit, but I get into it and I get into a rhythm, but at some point you have to be cognizant because I don't want to run them over in time.
Right.
I want to make sure I stay within my time guidelines. And what happens is sometimes that means the end of the speech gets rushed.
Sure.
But after that feedback and that succession plan is so important,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to probably move it up in my speech.
Yeah,
so
it's right.
not the last thing that
you're
I
right.
talk about. It makes sense if you talk about legacy last, but I'm either going to have to move it or make sure I have plenty of time to expand on that.
Yeah.
And the only thing I have on my slides are just the name of the lesson and then a key takeaway. And then I just tell story to elaborate on that key takeaway.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to elaborate a little bit more and probably include a couple of other just random small stories that I can drive home the point, because a good friend of mine was sitting in the audience, that same friend that pushed me to do this.
Yeah.
So she was there. And so I got some really honest feedback from her, which was great. And one of the things was, I think you need to really kind of expand on that
mm-hmm.
and maybe change your slide a little bit to incorporate some of the words you used. But if they're taking pictures of the slide, they'll still have those words.
You're right.
And maybe it will help them remember, you know, better
yeah.
if the words are actually on the slide. So, yeah,
good
I think
idea.
You have to, no matter what you do, and the first time you do something, obviously, and the second and the third, sometimes it just takes a while to get that rhythm down. And
mm-hmm.
and so a couple of things I would leave our listeners with before we move on to your side of this is that you have to, just because you're going to start and stop. You know,
mm-hmm.
You may get kicked off really wildly. Like I might have scheduled 4 or 5 speeches right in a row, and
mm-hmm.
then I might have gone for a year without not doing one.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes things will start really quickly for you. Other times it will take a while to get the next one,
mm-hmm.
whatever the next one is. So just be patient and
yeah.
don't let fear stop you. Just
yeah.
make sure that you're moving forward. And if I didn't love it, let's say that I took these speech classes and I got up and I did my first, second speech and I was like,
yeah.
I don't really like that. Well, at least I gave it a shot.
True.
And now I know it's not really, you know, what I truly want to do.
True.
I love doing that. But honestly, what you and I have planned to go out and help people with that succession plan, that's
yes.
something that we are going to be able to help people with strat planning
right.
and training leaders for the future in small group settings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's really going to speak to me.
Yeah.
But this experience with speaking to larger groups is just, you know, it's just something that now I have the experience to do
exactly.
and I can do if I'm called on to
yeah.
do that. And it just will lead to hopefully other things.
Well, and it will, I'm certain.
Yeah.
And it helps polish all of those thoughts, all Absolutely. Of those speeches. You know, yes. each yeah. time you do it, I'm sure you get better yeah. and better, and you learn what you want to add and what you want to leave mm-hmm. out. And mm-hmm. and like you said, to kind of focus on a little more mm-hmm. for that group, then maybe that needs to be more of a one or two versus a five.
Right, exactly.
On the list.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank You're you. Welcome. So let's talk about something, a new project that you are starting, and
yes.
it's a different take on this, but I think it's really interesting that our listeners are going to get to hear a couple of different ways that you might approach a new project that you're doing, and you're going to do a remodel on your lake house, right?
I am.
Yeah.
And for anybody listening that knows me, I've already done two remodels on my lake house.
But each so, one...
I'm a little embarrassed to say that, Angie, to the general public. And then when I told you that I was doing one, you were like, wait a second, you're doing another one?
Right, yes. But
yes,
the
I
why
am.
Has changed every time,
it
right?
Has.
It's been a little bit different.
It really has. So I'll try to keep my stories and my points brief, so that you can ask me questions
okay,
as we come.
Yeah.
So this all started in 2020,
uh-huh.
and we were still under a lot of our COVID mandates mm-hmm. of, you know, you couldn't really shop together. Things were still kind of closed down, because
yeah.
we're talking about May of 2020, so we were really still closed down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went on an annual camping trip with friends,
mm-hmm.
and we were at Table Rock Lake, and another realtor friend had recently bought a development or an old resort
mm-hmm.
in Branson down DD Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen his listings. So basically, they bought the whole resort. It was eight cabins, a pool, a big green space, a dock, mm-hmm. and it's lakefront, tier, mm-hmm. you know, tier one. So they were just selling off these little crummy cabins, and then they were going to make one of these cabins, he and his brother, make it their lake house as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up as the group of campers, and there were three other realtors in this group of campers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, we're going to go look at property. Okay, let's go. So we all get up Saturday morning, and we go over to this resort, and we meet Joel there and look at these cabins. And I had actually already written an offer on it, sight unseen.
Oh, okay.
Because I was afraid that they would be sold in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 2020, this was early 2020. Things
yeah.
weren't crazy yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, in our business, us doing this for a living, you never know. So I took his word for which was the best cabin left
mm-hmm.
that Joel would write an offer on. And I wrote an offer sight unseen,
mm-hmm.
and it was contingent upon me coming to look at it that Saturday.
Okay.
Okay. So we all go over
mm-hmm.
and I decide to move forward with it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these cabins were in duplex form.
Mm-hmm.
So mine in particular was a duplex.
Mm-hmm.
So a total of 720 square feet, divided in two, so each side had at the time, a kitchenette, a family room, one bedroom, and a full bath,
mm-hmm.
okay, so each side. So
right.
together, I would have two bedroom, two bath.
Right.
And then, so I decided to keep it as a duplex.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first decision,
mm-hmm.
was, you know what, this fits my family right now.
Mm-hmm.
My girls were 18 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Lakin was pregnant,
mm-hmm.
but I had no idea what that looked like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she was a couple months pregnant
yeah.
at most. So I had no idea what that world looked like with
mm-hmm.
me as a Mimi. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know how much of the cabin I wanted to DIY
mm-hmm.
and how much I wanted to hire out. So what I ended up doing was one side of it, I did mostly DIY,
mm-hmm.
and the other side I gutted.
Okay.
All right, so I thought, my thinking was, if I DIY this one side, get it up and running, because
mm-hmm.
it's Memorial Day already,
mm-hmm.
then I can have this side done to enjoy the summer at the lake, and then I can just wait on that other side because, you know, nothing's pressing if I've got a place to come down here and stay.
Right.
Well, it didn't work out that way.
The best laid plans, yes, as they say. Yeah.
That's right. So this remodel project, because they had to put in all new sewer and water lines, it stymied anything happening for a couple of months.
Okay.
So although I could go down there and work and do flooring and paint, I couldn't do anything with the plumbing. I couldn't do anything. You know, I couldn't. There was no working bathroom. In fact, we went over to what is now the Serrano's cabin and used that bathroom because that was one of the only working bathrooms still. Everything else had been winterized and was shut off, and they weren't going to turn it back on. So anyway, so end up doing the DIY on the one side, and ends up, I don't get that done any sooner than the other side. And I ended up having to, for whatever reasons, had to link them together anyway by the time they were done. Well, they were done on Labor Day weekend. So missed the whole summer.
Yes, yes.
But got to enjoy a little bit of, you know, the early fall weather and what have you.
Yeah.
So I ended up on the side that I completely redid. I had a brand new kitchen. It was all brand new over there, but I had a brand new kitchen. So my theory was, okay, so I stay on this completely remodeled side. So for myself, it's all going to be brand new. When my kids come down, they can stay on the other side. They can shack up over there. You could sleep probably six.
Yeah.
Eight was pushing it, but they all can sleep over there, but I'll do most of the cooking over here. And then I have a giant deck that encompassed the entire, the entire duplex, right, on the outside. And that's lakefront, pool front. So we would all spend our time out there on the deck mostly, right? You're at the lake, you're outside, you're on the lake all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a few other key points. It had air conditioning wall units.
Okay.
So there were four, one in each main room. And I kind of liked that because I love to sleep to noise. And those wall air conditioners get really cold.
Yeah.
And it also trimmed off spending a whole lot of money.
Yes.
And during early months of COVID, we didn't really know what our year was going to be like yet, right?
Right.
We were probably essential. I mean, I don't know what date it goes back to know that real estate was essential. We were probably known to be essential at that time. But there was a lot of questions at the end of May in 2020, right?
Certainly.
So I keep the wall air conditioners, which means I have no heat source.
Oh.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, two of those wall air conditioners were newer, and they said they had heat on them, but I wasn't relying on that because in my mind, I only went to the lake during the summer.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So fast forward, and that was true, even though it was only finished at Labor Day that year, then I, you know, kept going down there while it was warm. When it was cold, I winterized it.
Yes.
Okay. We come into the next season, and the next, winter of my first year of owning it, that winter, I had a pipe freeze. Okay. I had a pipe freeze. Okay. So it started getting me thinking of, you know, if I have to winterize this every year, and it was winterized, I winterized
right.
it, still had a pipe freeze, then what's the future look like of winterizing this? If I still had to pay a plumber to come down here and figure out where my busted line was, et cetera, et cetera. So that's planted seed at that point.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We get into the next summer, use it as the duplex, works out famously. I have a grandbaby by now. They came, I mean, I want to say maybe they came twice because she would have been, by June, she would have been 7 months old.
Yeah.
So they didn't go to the lake a lot that summer.
Yeah.
And so still, I still don't know really what the future of my family looks like. Okay. So we come into the next winter. Mm-hmm. And that fall, our friends, the Serranos, had bought a cabin down there as well. And they're my neighbors. And they were down there in the fall and in the winter. Mm-hmm. So it got me thinking, it'd be really nice to come down here in the winter. Mm-hmm. So went down in the winter. Mm-hmm. I had not winterized it.
Mm, yes.
I had installed heaters and kept the heaters running and went to ridiculous measures to try to keep this place warm in the winter. Because remember, I winterized it and had a frozen pipe.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So now this next winter, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I do want to come down here in the winter. So I buy all these heaters and situate them in four different areas, because we've really got four different areas of, you know, each little cabin that you've got a winter or that you've got a heat. And realize then, okay, this is ridiculous. Uh-huh. If I want to come down here and use this in the winter, then at some point I'm going to have to redo this cabin and open it up. Take that center wall out, open it up, make it into one cabin with, you know, a shared kitchen, living, two bedrooms, two baths.
Right.
Well, funny enough, that winter, Christmas, it was below zero. And the temperatures, it got drastically cold. Well, I hadn't winterized it, but I had heaters on. And I had a neighbor call me or text me on Christmas Eve. And he said, you know, obviously it's very, very cold. Do you want me to go check on your cabin? Yes, please. He goes over and my pipes are frozen. So I go down there the day after Christmas, and it's still very cold, but it was supposed to warm up that day. So went when it was warm enough to turn the water on and listen for leaks, and immediately heard, you know, a big spraying sound.
Sickening feeling.
Sickening feeling. Yeah. So that ended up being an insurance claim, because I hired a local guy there to come over and start tearing things apart. Well, he tore through a bathroom first and started finding, well, here's a break and here's a break and here's a break. He called me at eight breaks and said, you're going to have to replace all of this. So I made an insurance claim. So it kind of ended up working out in to my favor. That I got a few thousand dollars to, you know, to, for the insurance claim. Well, at that time, I did my second remodel, and I hired that guy. I hired the neighbor who claimed to be experienced in, he'd been a handyman for an organization for many years and had retired. So I grill him, I ask him, you know, how many of these things have you done? Because I'm going to have to gut it. I'm going to have to, which he had already started. So I was already paying him to start to gut it. Well, now we're going to tear down a wall. We're going to gut, we're going to have to gut other things. So I didn't do my due diligence with getting a real bid, and I want to say a real contractor. Because in hindsight, Angie, he was not a real contractor.
And that is, that really is kind of point number two, right? We talk about when it comes to asking yourself questions about what you want to do when you want to start something new, the why, and you had two different whys there because you're at remodel number two. And they were big drivers. I mean, when you have eight pipe breaks and they stop counting at eight, you really are forced. There is no more question about, you know, what you're going to do. But then the second thing is hiring the right professional. Like, who do you get to help you? Because any endeavor that you try to make, I mean, you could do small projects on your own. And we deal with clients all the time that say, yeah, I can handle that myself. And some things you can. But at some point, you need to hire a professional. I hired a speech coach. You hired a handyman in this particular instance. But and it'll be a great example of maybe what not to do, but
yes,
you know, you have to hire that, you have to find that professional.
You do. And I would always suggest you check with several people. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's always best to have two or three bids, excuse me, but sometimes time is of the essence, and you don't have time to get two or three bids.
Right.
So I will give an example on, I hired the contractor that was in front of me, mm-hmm. but I had three kitchen bids.
Okay.
Because I tried to get my, so I wanted to reuse my two-year-old kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. So my brand new kitchen in the one side of the duplex is brand new.
Yeah.
So I wanted to reuse that. Well, the guy who had put that kitchen in, he, I don't know if he was just doing too well and didn't have time for me, mm-hmm. or if, because I started the conversation with, I don't want another brand new kitchen, I want to reuse as much of this as I can.
Right.
Can you help me? He blew me off big time and would not even entertain coming down there to give me another bid. Hmm. So I had to move on very quickly.
Yes.
So I ended up getting and having the time to get three kitchen bids. One of them had a bid to me within a week, mm-hmm. and had a full rendering, 3D rendering. You could open drawers on there. Like it was what we want to see, right? In our profession, we like all the fancy things, you know. Number two, it took him maybe 3 weeks to get back with me, and it was going to, he only had two options of cabinets. He only had two color options, and I was still kind of playing with, well, what colors do I want? Mm-hmm. First guy had all the colors in the world.
Yeah.
Second guy had only two colors, and it was going to take him like 9 weeks to get them in. And we're already into like January.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do a remodel during lake season, right?
Right.
So time is of the essence here.
Yes. Yeah.
So bid number three with the kitchen, I didn't hear back from him for 3 months. Mm. When I was in the midst of my last month and my kitchen was already installed, I heard back from him with a bid.
Okay.
And I was like, dude,
yeah.
like customer service 101,
for sure.
Follow up. And if you're too busy to get back with somebody, mm-hmm. please let us know. Hey, yeah. I've had family issues drop in my lap. I've had, you know, three or four jobs that have been delayed because of this. Mm-hmm. I can't get to you for 12 weeks. Is that okay? Do you still want me to waste my time?
Right.
Because he still wasted his time. And, I've already gotten two bids and had already decided I was going with the first.
Yes.
I just had a comfort level with them.
Uh-huh.
And the prices weren't that different.
Yeah.
So the third guy coming in 3 months later, I'm like, dude, mm-hmm. what have you been doing?
Yeah.
Because this wasn't a huge project.
Right.
However, I am going to throw some numbers out there because our listeners, you might be thinking of, you know, a kitchen remodel, and this is a smaller kitchen, right? Kitchen remodel may cost me, you know, $100,000. Mm-hmm. My first kitchen in 2020, and I also want to remind you that it was hard to get products.
Yes, yes.
So the contractor I hired in 2020 was out of convenience because he was family to Joel.
Okay.
So he was there, uh-huh. and he came over and said, hey, can I help you? And I just hired him on the spot. I'm like, yeah, what can you do? What can we do here? And away we went. Mm-hmm. It was hard to get products. Mm-hmm. You were very limited on what you could get. So there were stuff in 2020. I just had to decide on something that was lesser than what I wanted. Mm-hmm. But that kitchen in 2020 cost me $5,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The kitchen in 2023 mm-hmm. cost me $14,000.
Okay.
Now, one caveat, I did go with granite, whereas mm-hmm. the first one I did laminate.
Okay.
But they were essentially the same size.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how much products. Costs mm-hmm. had went up mm-hmm. from
labor and product.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Labor and product yes. with 3 year time frame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
So what I learned most from that second remodel was slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of got in a hurry, and when it was evident that I had to make an insurance claim, then I clearly knew what was ahead of me. Okay, mm-hmm. now's the time. I'm going to open this up. I'm going to make it into one cabin that we can enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then I just rushed into making some of those decisions right. that I should have pumped the brakes because I really had enough time. It's you know, it's the first week of January.
Yeah.
So I also had another grandbaby on the way.
Uh-huh.
Let me add that little tidbit.
Yeah.
So now my family's growing even more reason to make this one space that we all can enjoy it.
Right, right.
So now, mm-hmm. as we head into yet another season of life, mm-hmm. I had another neighbor on the other side of me that did a remodel. Mm-hmm. And his remodel was finished at the beginning of last year. So he did it over 23-24 winter.
Gotcha.
And he added, he had the exact same footprint as me.
Okay.
He had a larger family than I did to begin with. And mm-hmm. they just kept the footprint of two bedrooms and opened theirs up at that time when he did his first remodel. Mm-hmm. But quickly realized we need more space. We need that third bedroom.
Right.
So he added a third bedroom and a screened-in porch a year ago. So over this past summer, I got to go over there and see his remodel. Mm-hmm. And was also knowing now that I've got two grandkids.
Yeah.
When I first bought this, I had, you know, one in utero and didn't know what it was going to be like.
Right.
So I had said to my friends down there, I'm going to have to do that in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it turns out that I've already made that decision to move forward and do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you have gone out and again, you sought the help of another professional.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And again, being in the profession that we're in, we do know some of those people, but you really have to, now you've kind of learned from past mistakes,
yes.
right?
You yes.
know, slow down, make sure you get plenty of bids on things and you have decided on who's going to do that and,
right.
and help you get to that next step.
Right. So what we're going to be doing on the podcast is mm-hmm. we're going to be following that journey
yes.
with me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be able to give pointers along the way and mm-hmm. and show differences along the way because you never know until you get started
right.
what it's going to look like. You may have to pivot and make a different decision.
Right.
So that's part of what we're going to be doing on social media and probably talking about in future
yeah.
podcasts
yeah.
as my third remodel gets underway.
Yes.
Third and hopefully last. Angie.
Well, we can only hope, right? And we'll talk about things along the way, like what's your return on investment? And does
yes.
it matter? Is it different between a lake house and your regular residential? Would you give your client who might call you up and ask you about how much to put into a remodel or how much they should remodel,
right.
would you give them the same advice, whether it's lake house or their primary residence?
Right.
So we're going to have a yep. lot of discussion about this so that hopefully we'll go on Tanya's journey, but also we are looking for someone out there in our listenership mm-hmm. that is going to do a remodel this year as well, because we would love to follow you along with that, alongside Tanya in doing that and highlighting your experience with getting a remodel, whether it be, it could be just a kitchen or a bathroom. It could be something small.
Something very small.
And that way it will help us make the contrast between this is what you probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're probably not going to put in your lake house the same level quality of finishes that you would if it was your primary residence.
No. And I do have to, I kind of have to keep that under rein, right?
Yes, yeah.
Because it is a lake house mm-hmm. and it started out, you know, as 720 square feet. We're not talking about my primary residence that is much larger than
yes,
that, right?
Yeah.
So you do have to keep those things in perspective
yes.
and know, you know, what your investment is, and I've added that up along the way. And now I will know after I add this what I should be able to sell it for, right? Because
right.
we're always thinking that.
Like, absolutely.
No matter what kind of remodel you're doing,
right.
you're going to want to make sure that whatever amount of money you're adding into your project and into your home equals what you can then get back out of it when you get ready to sell it. And it's only supposed to be about 30% mm-hmm. of what your actual total investment is, or what your total sales price would be in this case if you were going to sell
right.
it.
Right. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
If you or someone you know is going to be tackling one of those projects this year, we would love to hear about it and talk to you about what it might look like for us to follow along and kind of just follow your journey as well as Tanya's.
Yeah.
So please reach out to us.
Let us know if you have a friend or you yourself are doing a small remodel or a large remodel. We'd love to follow along. So we wanted to thank Gershman for recording with us today. And we hope that you'll share this episode with a friend so that we can gain more followers and friends.
And help more people.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you next time. Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.